the XXXXXXXX Files.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
And welcome to the XX Files.
You are tuned into CKUT 90.3 FM. It is 11:35 on a cloudy Wednesday morning. But at least it's not so cold out.
Yes. Temperature above average. Yeah.
So that's your weather report for the day.
Energy doing okay. Cool. So you got IRL Human and Jules the Ghoul in the studio today, and we are expecting a special guest.
Yep, we have a live in studio guest today, but we're just waiting on them. And they are called Squinky.
Dietrich Squinky Squinkifier, to be exact.
We hope we're pronouncing that right.
Cool. So Squinky is a writer, programmer, musician, and visual artist who creates games and playable experiences about gender identity, social awkwardness, and miscellaneous silliness.
Yeah, sounds pretty cool. Squinky's experimentation with game development and design started at the mere age of 13. Inspired by LucasArts fan forums and relying on trial and error while working in programs like Flash and MIDI, they began creating their early interactive narratives and games.
Squinky studied computer science at UBC, and during their undergrad, they had their first experience with a large game company, completing an 8-month internship at Telltale Games in California in 2006. They described this as a positive and surreal experience.
Squinky's first job following university was with Hothead Games, a company they stayed with for 2 years, working under mentor of LucasArts and Monkey Island fame, Ron Gilbert. It was here that Squinky began to feel disillusioned with the bro-centric, quote-unquote, environment of the commercial gaming industry, with little to no women working in studio, and further, helping to underscore how little emotional labor was valued.
Squinky chose to voice their opinions about the lacking diversity in the game industry, speaking out in online communities in the hopes that the studio would view this type of criticism as constructive and would lead to more inclusivity in the workplace. However, this was not the case, and little in the industry changed, and Squinky stayed with Hothead.
And they would stay with Hothead for another 2 years. But with the eventual leave of Squinky's mentor, Ron Gilbert, from the company, they felt a void. However, their job ended with an ultimatum drawn up by Hothead. It's us or your own personal games. Squinky chose to leave and focus on the pursuit of their own game goals.
And so at this time, Squinky was still identifying as female. As a result, they were highly sought after as a female game designer,
quote unquote,
in quotation, scare quotes, by companies making games targeted towards, in quotations, girls and women. Occurring simultaneously, Squinky began feeling the discomfort between expected gender versus actual gender. And Squinky's game, Dominique Pamplemousse, which is a stop-motion interactive musical adventure game, centered on an ambiguously gendered detective and dealt with these feelings directly.
So while spending most of their time working on Dominique Pamplemousse, Squinky had applied and was accepted to the Digital Arts and New Media MA program at Santa Cruz University. Quickly thereafter, they moved to Santa Cruz and released Dominique Pamplemousse alongside the move.
This was a turning point for Squinky. In Santa Cruz, they felt like they were surrounded by like-minded, accepting, and supportive peers. They linked this to a greater shift in the games community and the rise of Twine, video game zinesters, and trans visibility. Furthermore, releasing Dominique Pamplemousse led to self-discovery and self-acceptance as they came out as non-binary. This was now a space to explore and challenge heteronormative gender identities in the world of gaming, give voice to those who are often marginalized and under-recognized.
So Squinky graduated in 2015 and moved to Montreal, finding a sense of community in the city with a critical mass of socially progressive individuals and with spaces like TAG at Concordia and Pixels available. This year's HTMLE festivals, which took place during the first weekend of November and we've talked about extensively, had Squinky lead a Twine workshop, giving participants the tools to develop their own text-based interactive narrative while looking at deeper meanings that foster or hinder intimacy.
So, did you, in preparation for the show, I played a couple games. Did you play
a couple games? Yes, I did.
What was your favorite?
I really liked the ritual that required two participants.
Most sincere greetings.
Yes, most sincere greetings. That's the one.
Cool. Let's play it.
Okay, we're gonna play it on air right now, live.
Okay, so this is a video game made by Squinky called Most Sincere Greetings, Esteemed One, a ritual for two players.
And luckily, we are two people.
We are two players, so sound the gong to start.
Pretty good gong sound.
I really like that one. Maybe one more time. Okay, so now the timer's on. Here are your instructions. Number one, with the daring do of a PhD student, anoint yourself with a cup of green tea. I don't have any green tea.
I have a coffee.
I have some water. I feel anointed.
Yeah, I'm pretty anointed.
With the daring do of a PhD student. I need that green tea.
Yeah. I'd like that coffee, please. Thanks.
With an enthusiastic stomach, bless the small dais you are in with a semaphore pattern. I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means?
No. Oh, shoot. We're not losing. Quite sure. I feel like my stomach is strong, though, this morning, so...
So, just leave it there. Yeah. Hopefully there are some points for that. With an open right shoulder, softly nudge your partner's stomach. Okay. My right shoulder. Okay, here it comes. Do you consent to this?
Yeah. Do I have to stand up?
Yeah.
All right. It's happening.
All right. I softly nudged Amanda's stomach with my right shoulder.
It was more like a jab, but I'm okay.
I have pointy shoulders. Gaze impolitely into your partner's brain.
That's an easy one for me.
Yeah, got it. And with courage, bless the small dais you are in with an obscure word.
Pickleback? Is that a word?
I don't know.
You gotta come up with one now.
An obscure word. Oh my gosh.
Diegesis.
Ooh, do you know what that means?
The diegesis, I don't know right now.
All I can think about is anti-constitutionalism.
Okay, that's a good one.
Only half in French.
Was that anyway. A French? Yeah, I was it's, like, was that a French
word? It's a French word in the most English accent ever. Hold your partner's back with your left elbow.
I think we should skip that one.
Skip that one? Okay. With flair, say, "Oh, professor, this isn't where I parked my car," to your partner.
"Oh, professor, this isn't where I parked my car."
I believe it.
Is that with flair?
That's with flair. When you are finished, sound the gong.
Nice.
The judges found you lacking in panache.
What?
But we're impressed by your panache.
All right.
Quelle surprise. You have been awarded a baker's dozen out of 99 points. You will forever be remembered for your compassion. Sound the gong to restart. story.
That felt pretty cathartic.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel good. I feel good about that.
Yeah, me too. I also played the...
Oppression Olympics, Most Sincere Greetings, Conversations We Had in My Head, Tentacles Growing Everywhere, So You've Been Called Out, 36 Questions, I'm Really Sorry About That Thing I Said When I Was Tired and or Hungry.
Yeah, I played that one.
All right. I'm Really Sorry About That Thing I Said When I Was Tired and or Hungry by Dietrich Swinkefeyer. Start. Okay, so I'm like at a party in the house of these family friends. I think maybe family friends is clickable, but I'm gonna wait on that one. It's my parents' choice to be there, not mine. But when you're a kid, you basically go wherever your parents take you. And I'm sitting on their sofa, staring off into space while everyone speaks Farsi around me. God, I wish I brought a book to read. Suddenly, I get offered a plate of cookies. Do I want one?
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Okay, I choose yes. So, I take a cookie. In fact, I take two of them, but the all adults in the room laugh nervously, but at that age, I don't even notice. It isn't until much later in life that I realize I was doing it all wrong. But at this point, I have no idea. So I just go back to daydreaming. And we're going to have to leave this one hanging because we have the game designer themselves here with us at CKUT. How's it going, Squinky?
It's going.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
No problem.
So we were just playing some of your games.
Cool.
And we're both really into them. And we have, we also just give you a really long introduction. I know you missed it, but you'll just have to trust us that...
Yes, I trust you did me justice, and then some.
So can you start by talking a little bit about your Twine workshop that you gave at the HTMLEs Festival?
Yeah, sure. So I did a workshop which I called Intimate Narratives in Twine. I started the workshop by showing some samples of work I had done using Twine, just kind of giving people an idea of what you can do in the tool, what kinds of stories you can tell. So I showed, I showed imposter syndrome and Queen's Quest, and 36 Questions, which were all kind of like different ways that I had used Twine. And then after that, I showed people how to use the tool, like kind of just some basic stuff you need to know, but also like teaching them about like some kind of more like some design patterns that foster intimacy, like I don't know, like the idea of like expanding on like various thoughts or advancing.
How did it go? How did you find it?
It went really well. I thought the workshop participants were like really had diverse and varied backgrounds.
Awesome.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what they create.
Are they going to be sending you their games in the weeks to come? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's really up to them. It's
cool.
Optional if they want to or not. But yeah, I hope they do, for sure.
And how do you feel about Twine as this kind of accessible tool to develop a text-based game? And how do you think programs like Twine have kind of changed the commercial gaming industry, making production a little bit more democratized?
Yeah. Well, I definitely think, like, Twine can't do everything by any means.
Sure.
I don't use it for everything myself. But it is, like, just a great, it's pretty intuitive to just pick up and use. I think, like, what I really love about it and its effect on the game industry is that it's going to enable more people to write non-linearly and for for like for interactivity, which is really cool.
Awesome.
Cool. And so lots of your games kind of deal with the awkwardness of social norms, as well as the queering of heteronormative behavior. We both just played them on just now and prior to this and found them pretty cathartic.
Cool.
Do you believe in game development as a form of therapy or as a practice of undoing structures within society, or both?
Definitely, it can do both for sure. From a therapy perspective, I mean, it's like any other kind of art therapy. It's a great way, of exploring alternate timelines and what could have been, or in terms of transforming society, yes, in the sense that that all art is can be transformative. But I mean, like games and interactive fiction offer something new to the table, like a new way of experiencing art, dealing with a lot of the same feelings. So it's all it's a very human thing.
Awesome. We also noticed that obviously many of your games tackle kind of sensitive social justice issues, but in a very light and playful way. We're just wondering, how do you navigate the complexities of things like identity politics and social inequities when designing your games? And why is gaming particularly useful for thinking about these topics?
Yes, they are very difficult and very heavy topics a lot of the time. I like to write from kind of a lighthearted, satirical, funny perspective. Because dealing with stuff is hard enough as it is. And sometimes you have to step back and take a little critical distance from it and just realize that actually, yeah, it's kind of funny and really awkward. And people who have been through a lot of the same things can recognize that. And it also just makes things more real too. I find anything that is just really, really plotting and overly dramatic without having any kind of humor in it whatsoever just seems really unrealistic to me. Meanwhile, comedy that doesn't have that doesn't deal with any social issues at all is just boring and not really that funny.
It's a super fine line, right? There's a big gray area. And has it been well received? The way that you have been kind of tackling these issues?
Well, I think it really depends. Some people will really get it and some people will not. And I have learned to be okay with that. What I really want, there's an argument in terms of diversity where we want to make media for everyone, but you can't really do that. You can't really do anything that will please everyone all the time and that will resonate with everyone in exactly the same way. So what I want to do is make interactive art for people who don't have anything made for them, really. People who don't see their experiences represented. And that is what I care about more than being just well received on a general level.
Mm-hmm. And then you also, one of your games is about being called out on the internet relating to social justice criticism. So it's kind of, I guess I find it really interesting that you kind of, it's like you're using all of this and turning it back into a game. Is there anything that you think can't be a game?
Anything that can't be a game.
Good question.
I guess not really. I think you can make games about anything. Should you make games about everything? That's a different question, really.
And should you?
Yeah, I don't know. It depends. It depends what's speaking to you at the moment. For sure. People have made people make games about all manner of atrocities, and sometimes they're done really, really horribly and really, really sensationalized, but sometimes they're this cathartic way of working through a situation you've been through. There was a game about a decade ago that somebody made called Super Columbine Massacre RPG. And it was made by somebody from Columbine who I guess from the general area, and kind of was his way of processing what had happened. But then other people kind of took it as weirdly sensationalistic, and there was kind of an outcry over that. So that is one example that comes up off the top of my head.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a pretty heavy subject to deal with. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like you're saying, if you're kind of immersed within that subject matter,
why not? If you're exactly. going to talk about something as you you should, everybody is free to deal with their own feelings in whatever medium works. And obviously a lot of people do identify with this medium, so.
Exactly. I'm wondering if you see the commercial industry changing to recognize non-binary and or marginalized individuals, recently, or if that kind of work is only happening within indie gaming.
I think I think some segments of the commercial industry are sort of starting very, very slowly to become more inclusive. BioWare has trans characters now, which is cool, I guess. But I do feel that, the commercial game industry is a lot slower at adopting these sorts of things. I expect them to be about, 10, 15 years behind, independent developers, if anything. Yes, change will gradually happen, but it'll be a lot slower for these larger companies, who have a lot more on the line for these sorts of things. Whereas indie developers just have a lot more freedom to explore what they want to explore.
For sure.
Cool. Well, we've, pretty much gotta leave it at that for today.
Is there, anything that you're working on right now that you want to plug quickly?
Yeah, so right now I'm working on a sequel to a previous game. This game is called Dominique Pomplemousse and Dominique Pomplemousse in Combinatorial Explosion. And it is kind of a Brecht-inspired,
Brecht-inspired, yes.
Brecht. Yeah. Yeah, so it's just so it is a sequel to a stop-motion musical detective game that I made called Dominique Pomplemousse, and it's all over Once the Fat Lady Sings. And it is dealing with things multiple endings and alternate timelines, and all the while tying it into anxieties over personal anxieties I have about being in my 30s and being uncertain about things and current events and the rise of neo-fascism and scary things like that. It's a really personal game, but it's also really weird and comedic and satirical, so it's fun to make.
And when do you think that will be out?
I'm hoping early next year, 2017.
Well, we'll definitely look forward to that.
Definitely.
And if you want to check out any of the games